The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome to Grace in Focus, as today we look at Proverbs 30, verse 4, where it asks the question, who has ascended into heaven and descended? So the question is, whom? But maybe there's a lot more we can learn from this verse. Let's do it together. This is the ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're glad you're with us today, friend. The Grace Evangelical Society has a website. It is faithalone.org. We'd love for you to go there and learn more about us, subscribe to receive our blogs daily, and find out more about our national conference coming this May, the 19th through the 22nd. That is faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
And Bob, in the military, we had a phrase, a moten gator.
A moten gator?
A moten gator
means... Is that a burning alligator or something?
Well, a moten gator is a really, really good one. Like a monster. A monster question, you know? And it's from Mark. Basically, what he asks is, he heard you or read a blog, he says, where your view is that on Mount Sinai... it was the Lord that Moses spoke to.
Right.
That the Lord had descended on Mount Sinai. And then in Acts 7, verses 35 through 38, who did Moses see at the burning bush? And Mark says, this is not from your blog, I don't think, but he says that was an angel as well, according to Acts 7. And that this was the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. He assumes that you agree with that as well. And so Moses spoke to Christ, who descended on Mount Sinai and at the burning bush. Okay, that's the background of the question. So then he mentions, well, what about Proverbs 30, verse 4? And here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Now I'm reading.
And you're going to be writing the commentary on this, so this will help
jumpstart
your thinking.
That's right. I'm cheating. I like this question, so I'm getting some help here on the commentary. The proverb says, who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? And here's the point. What is his name? Okay, and most people would say, well, he's talking about God there.
Right.
Right? The one who established the ends of the earth. What is his name? Now, some from the New Testament might say, well, Christ was the creator, you know, John 1. But in Proverbs 34, it says, what is his name and what is his son's name?
Right.
And so, if you know. And so, and the answer is, no, I don't know. So Mark is asking the question, what is his name there is distinguished from his son.
So therefore, it seems to be referring to the father ascending and descending, not the son ascending and descending.
Exactly. And so his question is, if we say Christ descended to talk to Moses at the burning bush and at Mount Sinai, what does this mean where it seems to be talking about God the Father who has descended?
Okay. Well, in the first case, maybe you can turn to John 3. What is it, 31 and following, where John the Baptist is talking about Jesus, and he uses the language of ascending and descending, does he not?
Yeah, not only that, but in this passage in John 3, where John talks about the encounter with Nicodemus,
right?
He talks about not just ascending and descending, but he talks about water.
And wind.
And wind. And I remember Zane in one of his books, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and he goes, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things?
Right.
So these are things that are in the Old Testament scriptures that Nicodemus was a teacher of, and it talks about ascending and descending and water and wind.
Right.
And then here in Proverbs, who has ascended and descended and the water and the wind blows wherever it wills. And you should know, what is his son's name, Nicodemus?
Right.
And so this is pointing to Christ, because Nicodemus comes searching for answers from Jesus, and Jesus is saying, you call me a teacher sent from God, but I'm more than that.
Right.
Right. And I agree with that. But yes, go ahead.
So in John 3, would you read, what is it, starting at 31? Is that where it is?
Let's see. In verse 31, He who comes from above is above all. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. Who he comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. That's in John 3.
So that's referring to Jesus. And you also have, doesn't Ephesians 2, around verses 6 and 7, talk about Jesus descending? Oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong passage. I'm thinking of Romans chapter 10.
It's Romans chapter 10, verse 5.
Okay.
For Moses writes about the righteousness which of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, and here it is. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead.
Okay, now here we have descending not to earth, but to the abyss, so it's a little different than Proverbs 30 and verse 4. But we do have ascending to heaven, and it's about Christ. And it seems like there's some linkage here. But what I would say that's remarkable, and I looked at several commentaries, and they all marvel that here we have in the Old Testament Yahweh having a son.
Right.
God having a son.
And I like what you said earlier, Bob, about this being creation, is your view, right?
Yeah. If you look at the context,
right.
He doesn't talk about he came down and lived among us and died on the cross for our sins. That would be talking about Jesus. But it says, he has gathered the wind in his fists. He has bound the waters in a garment. He has established the ends of the earth.
Well, that's all
part of the creation, right?
Right.
He established where the boundaries of the water is, the boundaries of the earth.
And that reminds us of certain verses in Job, right?
Right.
Right.
And so, and of course, both the Father and the Son were involved in creation. All things were made through him, John 1. But the Father was certainly in charge of the creation, and the Spirit was also involved with hovering over the waters, etc. So I think these verses are Trinitarian, although you don't see the third person of the Trinity in these verses. But some of the commentators point out that you clearly see two separate persons in what is his name and what is his son's name. And so in Jewish thought, they could have grasped the fact that the Father has a son. And when Jesus came on the scene, they should be able to see him as the fulfillment of this verse.
And that's certainly what Jesus appears to be saying to Nicodemus in John 3, right?
Right.
You ought to know who I am here as an expert in the Old Testament scriptures.
Right.
Right.
And by the way, in Acts 7:35, which Mark asks about, it doesn't say an angel, lowercase. It says the angel, uppercase. Well, at least the New King James puts it capital A, because the New King James believes that's the pre-incarnate Jesus who met with Moses. And part of the reason for this, and I said this in a previous blog, and I think I've said it on previous podcasts, is that in John 1:18, we're told no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. So anytime God is seen, it has to be the second person of the Trinity.
In the Old Testament, yeah.
Or in the New Testament.
Sure.
Anytime God is seen, at least up until, it's possible that people will be able to see God the Father in the future. But when John's writing, he says, no one has seen God at any time. So you're right. In the Old Testament, every theophany, every appearance of God was a Christophany, an appearance of Christ.
Which is, in many cases, the angel of the Lord.
The angel,
right.
Capital A, the angel of the Lord. And when you have the fourth man in the fiery furnace, that's the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. When you have the person, the man that meets with Moses at the burning bush, or meets with him on Mount Sinai, or meets with him in the tabernacle, and remember, his face would glow, 2 Corinthians 4, every time he would meet with the Lord. But the reason his face shone is because he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham saw the angel of the Lord. Three angels come, three men come, but two of them are regular angels. The third one is the Messiah. And he has a dialogue with him about, hey, how many righteous people do there have to be in Sodom before you won't destroy it?
Well, you got to wonder what the rabbis must have thought as they were studying this passage. What is his name and what is his son's name?
Right.
And, you know, how many of them, I'm guessing that many of them would have said something like, well, you got God and the king would be his representative. The king would be his son, maybe,
right,
on
and
earth.
Right, and some of the commentators suggest that.
Oh, do they?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Some of them say that's what could be referred to. But I think where they would draw the line, unless they are believing rabbis, is this side of the incarnation, they would say, this isn't referring to Jesus.
Oh, right. But what we see here, to boil down Mark's question, is, and you mentioned just a few minutes ago, this is a Trinitarian thing. In some sense, we could say God the Father descended in creation.
Right.
And when he established the ends of the earth here in Proverbs 30. But he has a son, and this son has descended as well.
On many occasions.
Right, to talk to Moses at the burning bush, to talk to, like you mentioned, all these
appearances. Or even after his ascension to heaven, after his death and burial and resurrection, and then he ascends to heaven, he comes back and meets with Saul on the road to Damascus.
On the road to Damascus.
And then he comes back and meets with Saul in Arabia, right? When Saul was for 3 years in Arabia and he's discipling him in Arabia.
And what about John in Revelation 1 when
yeah.
he sees him? I mean, a vision of him. What, you know,
right.
So
I think in that case, John's caught up to meet him
sure.
rather than Jesus coming down to meet John. But same idea, basically.
And so this is a great question, Mark. What we're saying is, who descended? Both in Proverbs 30, which seems to be what he's saying in Proverbs 30. Who is he and what is his name?
See, I love the questions we get, and make sure you keep sending them in. Our question barrel is starting to run low, and so we're ready for more questions, but keep them simple, Saint. Use the KISS method. If you want it on the air, it's best if you can keep your question to 20 words or less, one, two sentences. Make it real clear what you're asking. It makes it much easier to answer.
And as you're writing those questions, remember,
keep grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, verses in the New Testament talk about eagerly awaiting. What is it that we are waiting for? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.